Holy Spirit, stir the water, send your fire, send your power, Holy Spirit.
Amen, amen. I want to welcome everybody on tonight to another episode of Advancing the Kingdom Radio Broadcast. I'm excited about tonight's word because this is something that has been embedded in my spirit for, I would say, a good 4 to 5 weeks now. I was spending some time in prayer and the Lord literally began to show me that this was an area that the body of Christ definitely needed some guidance in. See, because a lot of times we receive prophetic words, but then when the word does not come to pass the way that we thought it would, we get mad at the prophet. We begin to call the prophet false. We begin to say that they missed it, which in some cases that may be true. But then again, there are also cases where it's not necessarily that the person who delivered the word missed the word, but rather we did not do right by the word that we received. So we're going to get into this word tonight, plowing for your prophetic word, because I want to ensure that on tonight you all are equipped. That when you receive a prophetic word, you know how to properly handle that word and you know how to properly apply that word to your life. So as you move forward, that word can actually come to pass in your life and you can go on and fulfill the destiny of God upon your life by properly plowing for your prophetic word. So we're going to jump right into this tonight. Amen. We're going to get right down to it. Now, when many of you think of a plow, a lot of times we think about farms. We think about farmland and farming tools. And defined quite simply, and you can find this definition anywhere, Google, Wikipedia, a plow is a large farming implement with one or more blades fixed in a frame, drawn by a tractor or by animals and used for cutting furrows in soil and turning it over, especially to prepare for the planting of seeds. Especially to prepare for the planting of seeds. So when we talk about plowing for your prophetic word, really it is about getting the ground of your spirit right and properly positioned and readying your spirit, readying your soul, readying your body for the implementation of that prophetic word into your life so that it can be planted and it can take root and the seed of that prophetic word can begin to grow into your life. And as you cultivate it and mature it, it will continue to grow and grow and grow until you begin to bear the fruits of that prophetic word in your life. Hence would be the prophetic word coming to pass. So when we talk about plowing for your prophetic word, it's all about the preparation. Because see, there are a lot of believers that get mad at God because we get a prophetic word and we receive the word with gladness and we receive the word with joy. But then when hardship happens in our life, when trials happen, when we start to face different things in life, all of a sudden we get mad at the Lord and say, well, I thought you gave me this prophetic word. What happened? Now understand, just because the Lord releases a prophetic word in our life, assuming that that word was true, and I'm going to touch on that in just a minute. Assuming that that word was true, that does not mean that we're not going to go through anything. If anything, that means we're going to go through more, because the plan of the enemy is to steal, kill, and destroy. And if the enemy can be successful in his plans, then he can steal that prophetic word, kill your destiny, and destroy everything that God has designed for you to be. So it's important that we understand what to properly do with that prophetic word, and we don't just take the word, receive it, and go on. So the first key point in plowing for your prophetic word is, number one, you have to judge your prophetic word. Let me say that one more time. You have to judge your prophetic word. See, because a lot of times we go to these conferences, we go to these revivals, we go to these services, and the man or woman of God prophesies and releases a word to us. We receive the word with gladness. And then we go run and jump and shout and dance. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And just go on. We never stop to really judge the word and say, is this really a word from the Lord? Those of you that have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 14, because I want to show this to you in scripture. Because in the Bible, they judge prophetic word. They didn't just receive the word and go on, but they tested that word to ensure that it was actually from the word, from the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're going to start at verse 29. It says, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, let two or three prophets speak and let the others pass judgment. First verse. But if a revelation is made to another who is seated, the first one must keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all may be exhorted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So the first key point here, judging your prophetic word. Let me help you with something. Just because we receive a word that sounds good or beneficial or is something that we want or something that we've been praying for, that does not automatically constitute that that word is from the Lord. And see, this is why we have a lot of damaged people that are hurt by the church. I've said it in past broadcasts. I have yet to come across a professed non-believer. Most of the people that I encounter who are not currently living their lives for the Lord have been damaged by the church. And one of the major areas of damage for a lot of these people are false prophetic words or fleshly prophetic words, words that they were given that were not of God. And as things went on, they found out the word wasn't true, or they pursued the word and different mishaps happened because that simply was not God. And as a result, they got mad at the man or woman of God that released the word. And now they're damaged and church hurt by somebody who did not have enough character behind the gift that they were administering. And now they don't want anything to do with anything that looks like God or looks like the church or looks like a prophet. They don't even want to hear the word prophecy because somebody mishandled the administration of their gift. So the first thing is judging the prophetic word. Well, what does that mean? Is it a word from the Lord or is it not? See, because I could sit here and tell you, oh, man or woman of God, I hear the Lord saying you're going to get $1 million next week. And you can dance and shout around because you want to. Who doesn't want $1 million if you don't already have it? But just because I tell you something good that's going to benefit you does not mean that that is a word from the Lord. So a lot of times we receive a word with gladness too quickly because it's something good. And I will never forget. I went to a service one day and I went and my husband came with me and we took some of our leaders with us. And there was a prophet at this particular service that released a word to one of our leaders. And I had to go back and correct that prophet. Not that the man of God was false. I believe he's a true prophet of the Lord, but the word that he gave was not correct. He began to prophesy to one of our leaders about how he would travel and do different things and that this was the season for it. And I'm going to touch on all that in a minute. And I had to go back and explain to our leader that, yes, this is a man of God. And yes, he is a true prophet, but that word is not true because God is not getting ready to send you to travel and do all this other stuff. Now, in this example, this was a good word. He wasn't speaking no curses or nothing over him like that. This was a good word that anybody would want to receive. But nonetheless, this was not a word from God. So when we're judging a prophetic word, the first thing that we need to look at is, does this word really line up with scripture? Because that's the first key. Because anybody can say something and it does not line up with scripture, then it's not a word from the Lord. We have to look at, does it line up with scripture first? The next key thing, does it line up with the nature and the mannerisms of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? See, because yes, every prophetic word may not be in scripture word for word. We understand that because when you're delivering a prophetic word, you're speaking what is on the heart of the Father at that time. So though it may not line up word for word with what's in scripture, nonetheless, it's not supposed to contradict scripture. Does everybody understand that? It is not supposed to contradict scripture. Well, what does that mean? Let me give you an example. There are many different scriptures in the Bible where it comes to wine, about not being drunk with too much wine. And it talks about leaders not being overtaken by wine. So if I was to go to somebody and prophesy to them, oh, man or woman of God, God says your prosperity is in a wine shop. You're going to have a business and you're going to make billions of dollars off of selling wine. That does not line up with the mannerisms or the characteristics that are in the Bible. Because why would I go to a man or woman of God and tell them that their prosperity is in making millions and billions of dollars off of selling wine when the Bible gives constant warnings about wine, about not being overtaken in wine? So nonetheless, I would essentially be telling that man or woman of God that their prosperity is in somebody else falling against what the word is giving warning and caution to. Uh-oh. See, this is what we have to look at. Because a lot of times we get so caught up on the word. Everything is not black and white. There are some things in the word that is not explicit that says do this or do that or don't do that. But nonetheless, when we read through the lives of different people in the Bible, we can clearly see and discern the heart of the Father on a manner based on how he dealt with it. This is why it's key. Another thing to look for is predetermined opinions or observations of the person releasing the word. Let me explain that. If a man or woman of God is releasing a word to you on a particular subject that they already have a formulated opinion on, not all the time, but in most cases, what they're releasing is really not of the Lord, but it's really of their flesh, of their own spirit, because they already feel so strongly about it and they already have their emotions tied to whatever the opinion is. So when they feel so strongly about it, it's hard for them to hear clearly and release the word of the Lord because they already have an opinion about it. And this is a hard one for people to discern sometimes. See, because if I was to prophesy to somebody, let's say somebody was to be getting married, and let's say I didn't agree with it, it's more than likely I'm going to prophesy, well, that's not of God. Why? Because I already have feelings towards it. And again, these are just examples. You can apply this to anything. And even as you all are listening, I want you all to take these and be in prayer about past prophetic words you've seen. And if you did not judge it then, judge it now and determine whether or not that was really a word from the Lord. Because prophetic words are not based, and honestly, any prophet with proper character and proper maturity in most cases will not prophesy on a subject that they feel so strongly about. For integrity of the office and for integrity of the Father, and not to bring reproach upon ministry. If they feel that strongly and they already have an opinion, they won't even prophesy concerning that, to keep themselves from making such an error. So these are key points that we want to look at. Again, look at scripture in proper context. Not the way that you want to read it, but in proper context. What it actually meant when the person says it. Does the word line up with scripture? The nature and the mannerisms of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because again, some things are not specific, but we want to look at the character and the heart of the Father on that particular manner. And look at whether or not there are any predetermined opinions or observations that the person is releasing within that prophetic word. One of the next key points, after we determine that this is actually a true word, watch this. Pray and ask the Father concerning the timing of the prophetic word to come to pass in your life. I cannot stress that enough. The next error we make right underneath receiving words without judging them is applying a prophetic word to our life too soon and out of season. Ecclesiastes 3:1. If you have your Bibles, you can turn, but many people know this one. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. So just because you receive a prophetic word on today does not mean that it's necessarily supposed to come to pass tomorrow, next week, next month, or maybe even next year. And see, we have to understand the office of the prophet in its proper context. Yes, other people can have the gift of prophecy, but I'm talking specifically about the office here. Because when we look at the prophets in Old Testament scripture, many of them at times prophesied hundreds of years ahead of time. There were things that they saw that were years ahead of time. So if they were prophesying years ahead of time then it is very well possible today that you may receive a word that's not meant to come to pass to 4 or 5 years from now. And this is the error that many people make. See, because if I was to prophesy to you, oh, well, God has a husband for you, woman of God, that does not mean you're getting married tomorrow. Or if somebody comes along and says the Lord is calling you to a particular office, let's say, oh, the Lord is calling you to the office of an evangelist or the office of a pastor. That does not mean you are supposed to go make cards for your ministry tomorrow and start passing them out. Though that is the call on your life and that is the prophetic word that has been released to you and spoken of your life, it has to come to pass in due season. Every prophetic word is not meant to be instantaneously. And this is something that we have to understand. Pray concerning the timing of the prophetic word. And if you're having a hard time judging timing, go to a leader that you trust or a peer in ministry that you trust and receive their counsel on it as you continue to pray on it concerning the timing. In a multitude of counsel, there is safety. But a lot of times we are in a dangerous realm because we don't seek counsel. We take what we want to hear and we go run with it. Yes, sometimes we get excited when we get a good prophetic word, especially when we have a strong word of encouragement come after a season of dryness, after a season of tribulation, after a season where we've been beat up and our fire has died down, and the right word comes along to stir us back up in the spirit and to reignite that fire and to reignite and renew that passion for God. But nonetheless, that does not mean every prophetic word is supposed to come to pass right away. So within that, it is important that we hold on to a prophetic word. And sometimes if you don't get an answer, it's best to just go ahead and sit on it. Keep it on the back burner. Write it down. Go before the Lord with it. Read over it. Take a break for 2 or 3 days. Uh-oh. Or maybe it might be a good idea to fast or even go on a consecration concerning the timing of that word to see whether or not if that word is really going to come to pass in that season. Because it may be that maybe you need to get still and maybe you need to consecrate and turn your flesh down to a place where you can hear clearly, so where you won't have any distractions going on during that time in your life. Prayer, fasting, and consecration work in determining the proper season for a prophetic word in your life. Now, this next one many people don't like, but that's fine. The third thing that you would also need to do into plowing for your prophetic word is you need to inquire what it is that you need in order to help you cultivate that word. What should you be doing to ensure that word actually comes to pass? Because like I said in the beginning, it was never God's intention for us to receive a prophetic word and just sit on it and say, oh, okay, well, God, I thank you. I believe you for the word is going to come to pass. Because again, faith without works is dead. So along with your faith and believing and applying to your faith to the prophetic word, there are some works that need to be applied to that faith in order to see that prophetic word come to pass. Matthew 13, we're going to start at verse 18. Matthew 13, 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. Where anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. So what is it that you need to move away that may snatch away the prophetic word from your heart? Because some of us are connected to some things that are designed to destroy us. So many times we can't prosper in a prophetic word and it can't necessarily grow because we have something in our life that's snatching the word away as soon as we get it. Is it people? Is it situations? Is it stress? A lot of times it's people. We see, the problem is a lot of times we share our prophetic word and our prophetic destiny with the wrong people. And see, they're either carnal, jealous, or out of the will of God for them, for their life anyway. So the first thing they want to do is talk you out of it and give you every good reason why that word is not going to come to pass in your life. So as soon as you get the word, here they come snatching it away before it even gets a chance to get sown down in your heart and embedded within your spirit. So the first thing you need to do is determine what it is that you need, who it is that you don't need. Now watch this. This is the one whom the seed was sown beside the road. The one whom the seed was sown on rocky places. This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. If you start to fall away and waver in your faith because you received the prophetic word and then all of a sudden you start to face trials and tribulations and rough things in your life, then that means you're not properly rooted in the first place. If this is you, then that means there are some areas within your walk, within your life, in your spiritual walk that you are not properly rooted in. Are you praying? Are you worshiping? Are you reading your word like you're supposed to? Again, do you need to fast? Do you need to go on a consecration? See, because warfare or backlash that comes to you as a result of a prophetic word shouldn't cause you to start to struggle and waver in your faith and your belief in God. Because how is it that you're going to get a word and you're going to receive the word with gladness and you're going to have joy about it? Then as soon as something hard comes along, all of a sudden you start to question God. Because you believed him 5 minutes ago as long as everything was good. But now all of a sudden if something is happening, you're experiencing a little bit of turbulence in the spirit. All of a sudden you're questioning whether or not the word was good. Because see, if you already, and this is why I said in the beginning, judge the prophetic word. Because if you have already gone through the necessary steps and you've judged the prophetic word and you've determined that this is an actual word from God, then soon as the warfare comes or the tribulation comes or people start doubting you or whatever, you already have determined with a clear conscience before all of this started that that was a true word from God. So all of a sudden, you shouldn't just be confused and wavering and wondering. Just because it got a little hard. That means you're double-minded. And the Bible says, let that man not receive anything from God. So then all of a sudden, if you get double-minded, you might as well just scratch that word off. See, because you're holding up your own destiny. God can't release the fullness of that destiny in your life if you are double-minded. And I feel somebody on this line. If that is you, you need to get in a place before God and determine that you are going to believe God no matter how hard it is, no matter what it looks like, no matter what people say about you. But because you determined and you knew for a fact that that word was from the Lord over your life, and you're determined to be obedient to God and be obedient to everything that he has called you to be, then stand on that prophetic word and believe God. Because the moment you start to waver is the moment that you're going to sink. It was when Peter started to waver and look back and lose faith that he started to sink. So you're going to have to stand on it no matter how it looks and trust God for what he said. He didn't say that everything was going to be picture perfect. But nonetheless, if that is the destiny in your over your life, your obedience is going to bring that word to pass. That is for somebody on his line. Praise God. Moving on. And the one on whom the seeds was sown among the thorns, this is a man who hears the word. And the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Again, yes, you have cares in life. We all have cares and responsibilities. But nonetheless, those cares and responsibilities were never meant to keep you out of the will of God. So if you find yourself in a place where you can't obey God for your life because you have work, because you have school, because you have this, because you have that going on, then you might need to go back and seek the Lord. First of all, are you really positioned properly in the first place? See, because in order for the prophetic word to come to pass over your life, this is a part of your plowing. You may need to find a new job. Or you may need to go to school for something else. You might be in the wrong major or the wrong program. You need to cut away everything that is going to keep the prophetic word from coming to pass in your life and ensure that you are properly positioned so the seed of the prophetic word can take root in your life and begin to grow as you cultivate it so the fruit will come to pass. Oh, that was a hard word for somebody to receive. Yes, it's very well possible that you might be in the wrong job. Your job might pay you well, but in order for you to do what God is calling you to do, you might need to find a job with different hours or with different principles or beliefs. Uh-oh. See, because some of us have good jobs, but on those jobs, we're called to do some things that are dishonest. So you're going to have to ensure that you are properly positioned in every area of your life in order for that word to take root. And the one on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, this is a man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And understand I'm spiritualizing this here, because when you receive a prophetic word and it falls on good soil. It falls on soil that's already plowed, or soil that has been plowed and properly prepared for that seed to grow. You're properly positioned in every area of your life. That seed can grow, and it doesn't have anything around it, any distractions that are attempting to choke the life out of it. Because you're in a place where you have everything that you need. You're in the right job. You're in school for the right thing. You have the right people around you. Whatever it is that needed to be shaped and remolded and repositioned in your life has already been repositioned. Number 4, evaluate who is around you and pray concerning who needs to be added to or eliminated from your life in order for the prophetic word to come to pass. And I just touched on that a bit. 1 Corinthians 4. We're going to start at the 14th verse, 1 Corinthians 4, starting at verse 14. I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For if you were to have countless mentors or tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I exhort you, be imitators of me. Ensure that you have the right mentors in your life to help assist you with such a prophetic word. See, because understand, if you're going to move forward, you're going to need some assistance. And see, a mentor you can look at as someone who is an expertise on a particular area or a number of particular areas. And so if you are trying to make sure you're properly positioned and wondering how to take that prophetic word. Let's say your prophetic word is you're going to have a business and you're going to be properly positioned to have a business. You've gone to school, you've taken some business classes, you know some things, but there's still a lot that you're missing. Your mentor may very well be somebody who already has 2 or 3 businesses, somebody who can help you and help you cut off a lot of the going around in circles and a lot of the common mistakes or common errors that you make in the beginning, because they already have 2 or 3 businesses that are successful. They've been there 2 or 3 times. And a lot of times why we end up in going in circles in ministry is because we don't have the right mentor around us that can see and have the prophetic insight for where the circle we're getting ready to go in, so they can cut it off and cause us to move forward instead of wasting time. A lot of us are not connected to the right mentor. Even if you don't do the whole spiritual fathering thing, which I'm not going to go there because that's another subject, but even if you want to go there, it's still right here in scripture. There are many mentors. Somebody needs to be mentoring you in something. At least start there. And see, the problem is a lot of us don't have anybody. You need to pray about who it is that the Father wants you to be connected to and connect with them. Because it is imperative for your prophetic word not to die. But in order for it to come to pass, it's going to be important that we move forward. And as we continue to move forward, it's going to be necessary that you have the right person in your life. The right person that is going to teach you. The right person that is going to train you. The right person that is going to lift you up in prayer. The right person that's going to intercede for you. The right person that's going to war for you and ensure your success and bearing the fruit of your prophetic word. Now, for some of you, you may be in a place where it may not be a literal mentor. Nonetheless, if there's a particular man or woman of God that the Father has pointed out to you, maybe you've taken to their videos, maybe you've taken to their books and their teaching materials, that is an indirect form of a mentor. So if the Lord has pointed out a man or woman of God to you, then you need to study those materials. Be faithful in it. and sow into their ministry, because that's what's going to help you as you're moving forward. And watch this. In most cases, your mentor may not be who you think it should be. See, a lot of times we get into a place where we're focused on comfortability. So we chase after people sometimes. Oh, wow, they move in this and they do this. And they, man, I want to be under them. But see, we error because we want to be connected to somebody or raised up by somebody because of their gifts or because we like their ministry. See, a lot of times we make the mistake of becoming spiritual groupies and we start chasing after these leaders, these men and women of God, because they look so powerful and they look so anointed. And we get so, don't get me wrong, because that stuff is good, because we need the demonstration of the kingdom. Amen. But we get so caught up in the demonstration of the kingdom, or so we thought, or a good prophetic word, or good preaching, or good singing, or what have you. And we do not fully inspect all of the fruit in their life. See, because I don't care what you move in, but if you're going around sleeping around and being dishonest and cheating the government and all kinds of things like that, then that's not good fruit. That's not good fruit. So it's important that, yes, we get connected to the right mentor, but at the same time, we also inspect their fruit of their life. Are they really everything that they claim to be? Do they reflect the message that they preach within their own life? Number five, war for the coming of pass. For the coming to pass of the prophetic word, and resist all opposition. 1 Timothy 1:18. 1 Timothy 1:18. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Hardship is going to come, but it's not designed to destroy you, because you're not supposed to. Let me start over. Though it's designed to destroy you, you're not supposed to let it destroy you. Amen. See, a lot of times we just take what the devil does and we just lay down. Oh, the devil's persecuting me. Oh, the devil's doing this. The devil's doing that. A lot of times I say, oh, the devil is busy. Well, what are you doing to disrupt the devil's busyness in your life? You don't just sit there and allow. See, this is why the devil goes around to and fro wreaking havoc and carrying on. Because a lot of times we just sit there and we just take whatever it is that the devil is trying to do. We don't really combat it with anything. We take it and we go against it and we boo-hoo. Oh, Lord, the devil doing this and this and this. Or we get religious with it. Oh, no weapon is formed against me. Yeah, that may be true, but you need to make sure you're doing your part in the matter. See, because though no weapon formed against you shall prosper, if you're sitting there allowing the enemy and giving your power and your authority over to the enemy, then you are indirectly letting it prosper. Because the devil don't break any rules. He's legal about the stuff that he does. But see, he just tricks us into thinking. He tricks us into willingly giving it over to him, our power and our authority. So it's important for us to war. You got to get up and pray. If the devil is wreaking havoc in your life, don't just sit around and post on Facebook, oh, the devil is busy. But you get up and you pray. Father, I come against the works of the enemy in my life in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the word that's spoken over my life. I thank you it shall come to pass. Get in a place where you begin to declare that thing and apply your faith for the cultivation of the prophetic word spoken over your life. We have to have more backbone and more authority as believers in Christ. We want to advance the kingdom in the earth. But we struggle when it comes to advancing the kingdom in our own life, because we don't have enough confidence that we can overtake the enemy. Again, read the word. We already have the victory. Though you have to fight the battle, you know you already won the war. continue to declare and decree over your life. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Begin to speak life over your prophetic word. See, a lot of times we don't speak enough to it. We speak all the negative stuff. The devil is busy and this. I knew this wasn't going to work out. I knew this was a bad idea. We speak all the negativity in the atmosphere that the enemy can use to help cultivate his plan of destruction over us. But instead, when those thoughts come, you stand up and put your mustard seed of faith to it and you start speaking the opposite. We call the devil a liar, but then we just sit down and don't do nothing else. Yeah, he a liar, but you finna make him a truth teller because you're not warring. It's time for us to stand up and start coming against what the enemy is doing. You should never be satisfied with the enemy wreaking havoc in your life. It ought to make you mad. I'm talking about a righteous anger. It ought to make you mad when the enemy starts to wreak havoc in your life or somebody's life that you know. But we're talking about you right now because we're talking about the prophetic word in your life. It should make you mad. Mad enough that you get up off your butt and you go pray and you go worship. And you go read your word and you get out the Bible. If you got to sit there, you don't know what to say, start reading the promises of God out loud until Holy Spirit gives you something else to say. You have to start to declare and decree the opposite. Nonetheless, the areas of your life that God is touching and he's trying to move certain things out, you have to let those things go. See, because a lot of time we want the will of God and the destiny of God over our lives to come to pass while we're still holding on to people we have no business. We're still holding on to different hobbies that we have no business. We're still going places and doing things that we have no business. And let's just be honest. If we all sit back and think about it, we can all think of different stuff. It's like, yeah, I know I need to work on this. I know I should quit doing this. Man, I know I really need to stop this, but it's time out for the excuses, because if you want this word to cultivate everything that you know you're doing, that you know you need to stop or you know you need to let go of, that you continue to hold on to, it's choking the life out of your prophetic destiny. So no matter how true the word is after it's been judged, no matter who it is that you have mentoring you, no matter how much you war against the enemy, at the end of the day, you are the one that's going to have to deal with you. You're the one that's going to have to deal with you and be honest with yourself and let go of who, what, when, where, and everything that you need to let go of. And be honest with yourself before God and allow him to do everything that he needs to do to change you in your life. Because that's what it really comes down to. What are you really going to do to make a difference in your life? And again, this is important because I've seen many believers fall off and even sometimes fall away from God because of not knowing how to properly plow for their prophetic word, not knowing how to get the ground of their heart right, not knowing who they need to be connected to help push them forward in the destiny for their life, being hurt and damaged because they've received a false prophetic word. A word that was not from God, and they took it and they ran with it, and as a result, they were damaged. But it's time for us to continue to move forward. Amen. Now, I'm getting ready to close out, but I am going to say a prayer momentarily because, again, this has happened to many, many, many believers, and it's time that we move forward from the hurt that we've all experienced. It's time that we get into a place where we move forward, where no longer the enemy has reign, but we can be healed. Amen. And wherever you all are, if you're at home, if you're at work listening, just keep working. But if you're at home somewhere where you can lift your hands up, and you've been damaged by false prophetic words, I want you to just lift your hands where you are. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak to every soul that's on this line, that's listening via internet, and every soul that will play back this recording that has been damaged by a prophetic word. Father, I speak healing into those areas of their soul right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak right now. Let Holy Spirit come down and begin to touch those areas of their soul that have been damaged. Father, the bad decisions that they may have made as a result of a false prophetic word in their life. Father, the confusion of identity, the hardships that they've been through because of a false prophetic word. Father, I uproot every false prophetic word out of the souls of these people in the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak life to the true destiny that you have for them. Father, I speak if they are not already connected to the proper mentor. Father, let it be revealed to them in the name of Jesus Christ. Let that person reach out to them. And Father, let you continue to even confirm it by somebody else who it is that they need to be connected to. I speak life to the prophetic destiny that you have laid out for everybody on this line, everybody on the internet, and everybody that will listen to this recording, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak life. I speak life. I speak life that their destiny will not die, that the enemy will not cause them to fall away in shipwreck, as scripture says. But they will produce the fruit of the prophetic word spoken over their life, the right prophetic word, and that they will achieve their kingdom assignment, Father, and that they will achieve the destiny that you have for them. And in doing so, they will advance your kingdom, Father, and you will get all the glory. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to thank everybody that tuned in on tonight. Definitely look out next week. We will have another broadcast next week at the same time at 7 o'clock. Same time, same place, same day. Definitely be here to tune into the next one. God bless you all. I love you all, and you all have a good night.
Holy Spirit.